From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm David DeForest reporting. Pakistan says overnight shelling by Indian forces across the disputed Kashmir frontier has killed 7 Pakistani troops. The military says the incident occurred in the Bember sector along the line of control, which separates Pakistani and Indian portions of the divided Himalayan region. Pakistani troops retaliated. The government in New Delhi did not immediately respond to the report. The United Nations says more than 54,000 people have been displaced in Mosul, where an Iraqi military operation is underway to free the city from Islamic State militants. A UN spokesman says the number of displaced people has increased by 6,600 since Friday, with most of them fleeing to displaced persons camps. Iraqi special forces say they are checking all displaced people for suspected links to the Islamic State group before allowing them into the camps. A suicide bomber killed 6 people and wounded 6 others Monday near the southern Iraqi city of Karbala. The country's interior ministry said security forces killed 5 other attackers and that the suicide bomber blew himself up inside a house after being surrounded. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for that attack. A Swedish prosecutor was allowed to enter Ecuador's embassy in London Monday to question WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange on rape allegations. Assange has been taking refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in order to avoid extradition to Sweden, where he faces charges of sexually assaulting a woman. He denies that charge. The questioning is scheduled to continue for several days. This is VOA News. U.S. President Barack Obama leaves today on his final foreign trip as president. Mr. Obama's advisors expect President-elect Donald Trump to be the primary topic of discussion with world leaders. The president's itinerary includes stops in Greece, Germany, and Peru. Mr. Obama told reporters at the White House that he would assure leaders of U.S. support for the transatlantic partnership.
I'll also signal our solidarity with our closest allies and express our support for a strong, integrated and united Europe. It's essential to our national security and it's essential to global stability. And that's why the Transatlantic Alliance and the NATO Alliance have endured for decades under Democratic and Republican administrations.
The only major speech planned for the trip is in Greece, where Mr. Obama will talk about work that remains to tackle economic problems there and elsewhere in the world. China's president has offered the U.S. president-elect Donald Trump congratulations on his recent win at the polls. Chinese state broadcaster CCTV said Xi Jinping and Donald Trump agreed Monday to meet at an early date to discuss the relationship between the two countries. During the recent U.S. presidential campaign, Trump was highly critical of China's trade practices and currency policy. Protests continued Monday in the United States against the election of Donald Trump. Hundreds of students walked out of classes at a high school in Los Angeles and in suburban Washington, D.C., following a night of street protests in major U.S. cities. Both President Obama and defeated Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton last week called for national unity and asked Americans to give Trump the chance to govern when he takes office in January. The outgoing U.S. Special Envoy for Climate Change says China and other countries are expected to stay committed to the Paris Agreement, regardless of what the next U.S. administration decides to do. U.S. President-elect Trump has said he believes climate change is a hoax and has pledged to cancel U.S. participation in last year's agreement. Nearly 200 countries agreed to place limits on global greenhouse gas emissions. The Afghan government has asked the United Nations to include the Taliban's fugitive chief in its blacklist of individuals under travel and financial bans and arms embargoes. Critics say the request demonstrates a hardening of President Ashraf Ghani's stand about engaging the Taliban in peace talks, and it will likely fuel the insurgency. Moldova's pro-Russian presidential candidate Igor Dodon has won Sunday's presidential runoff election. Final results announced Monday give him a 52% of the vote. Pro-European candidate Maia Sandu, who ran an anti-corruption platform, had 47.8%. From the VOA News Center in Washington, I'm Dave DeForest.
That's the latest world news from VOA.